Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I have been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Check out my website at theroofershow.com. You can get a download, which is going to help you identify your ideal customer. And what it is the what, who, where, and why of the customer. And I'll take you through this. And the what is, what exactly do you do? Do you do residential roofing? Do you do commercial? Do you do gutters? It really helps you identify what you do, niche down. Don't try to be everything to everybody. Gets into that. The who. Who is that ideal customer? Who's that one customer that you wish you had 100 just like? That is who you want to identify, and that's who you want to spend your time on. The where. Where are they? Where do they hang out? How are you going to go about finding them? More importantly, how are they going to go about finding you? And the why is, why would a prospect want to do business with you and not your competitor? What makes you different? What is the differentiator that makes you better, stand out above the crowd, that even if you are a higher price, they see the value in doing business with you? And this is what this download is about. So go check it out. It'll really help you get squared away with your customer. Spend your time on the important ones, not the tire kickers that are just going to waste your time. We've got another great show for you this week. And today I've got David Loopberger on. And David is a business coach. He is also a member of the mastermind group that I'm in with construction consultants. It is an awesome group. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But what David does is help contractors with exit planning, exit strategies on how they're going to sell their business, how they're going to exit out, whether it's a succession with maybe their kids, maybe you're going to try to sell it to an outside buyer, maybe bring somebody up through the company that you've identified as being somebody that you can groom over time to take over your business. And this is what's ideal. Bring somebody up, get them trained. You can start kicking back to 2 days a week, perhaps, or being a consultant. It's a great thing, but you've got to plan. It takes a lot of years to get this set up, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But as usual, I've got a couple of topics that I want to bring up, and these are things that I learned through the hard way through my business. And as my buddy Otto von Bismarck says, only the fool learns from his own mistakes. The smart guy learns from the mistakes of others. And that's what this show is all about. Well, here it is, follow-up Friday. Once again, it's Friday. What are you doing to follow up? We've talked about this every week where you can either reach out to past customers, just say, hi, thanks for, give me some referrals if you know anybody. Did you get those 5-star reviews from everyone? That's the time to follow up and ask them. But I've talked about this before. I'm trying to get the roof done on my house, and my wife is handling this because I'm too busy helping contractors make extraordinary profits in their business. So but she's got this going. And so like most people, she gets 3 quotes. And it's interesting how they came in. One company does an aerial view only, does a, whether it's an eagle view, whatever, and sends a proposal in the mail. And it was quick, boom, done. Never heard back from them, but got this quote in the mail. We had somebody that came out and went around, got on the roof, looked at it, checked it out, said, get back to you. Week and a half later, get some email sent. Third guy goes up on the roof, comes back down, and has a sit down with my wife. They're sitting at the kitchen table, masked up and so forth. And, you know, she thought it was great. She really liked this guy, apparently. And he went through all the steps and, you know, just a great presentation. But he, I said, did he ask for the sale? No, he didn't. So that's where this thing stands. So the point is, this is follow-up Friday, okay? Not one of these guys followed up to say, hey, just want to let you know we'd really like to do the job. Where are you on the process? You know, can we go over the quote? You probably got some questions, and let me run through this. Now, she just needs a kick in the pants, man, to get this thing going, and it's just hasn't really done anything. The aerial quote came in, I guess, 10-15% lower than the other two guys. So just probably if any one of these three had followed up and called her, you know, they could have closed the deal. And the guy that was at the kitchen table probably could have closed it right there. Because, you know, she's ready to buy. She needs to, we got to get a roof done, and she's handling it. She's the boss, all right? But here's the best part. She runs into a friend of hers, and this comes up somehow. And she's, God, I use these guys. I love them, man. They were fantastic. Did a great job. You should call them. So she calls these guys up, and they come out, respond really well. Nice guy, apparently. And they are probably 10% higher than everybody else, 15% higher. But she's going to go with these guys. Why? Because she got a referral from her friend that loved it. Checked out the reviews. They were great. The moral of the story is you got to follow up because time kills deals. Okay. The longer it sits out there, the less chance you have of something happening. You got to follow up with these things. And here comes this other guy out of nowhere because he's referred, even though he's higher priced, this guy, I guess, is going to get the job. I said, great, handle it. I don't want to be responsible for it if they screw up. So that's the deal. Follow up on your open quotes and don't let these things sit. Time kills deals. So hopefully, and I know everybody here does, have their sales pipeline lined out and are tracking all of these quotes that you've made so you can follow up with these and close the deals. You're going to improve your close rate big time. So get on the phone and start dialing for dollars. And this is something we spend a lot of time with my coaching clients, is the sales process. Making sure that we have a process that we're following. So we are following up, or if you have a sales team, that they're following up and you know this and you can follow it and track it, because it's going to make a huge difference in selling more work. You improve your close rate. That means you don't have to make as many estimates to sell the same amount of work. So everybody's griping about, hey, I don't have any time. I'm spending 80 hours a week doing this. I'm wearing all the hats. Well, this is one reason, is that you've got to improve your close rate. And most of that is going to come from just simple follow-up. So if that's something you're interested in learning more about, get in touch with me. Go to my website at theroofercoach.com. Click the big button. Set up a time. We'll get on the phone, talk for a half hour, 45 minutes about your business, give you a few tips, and it's a free call. See if there's anything I can do to help you. And last, but certainly not least, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. And we were talking about improving our close rate, having to make fewer estimates, getting more time. Well, Ruby can help you do that because they answer the phone professionally with a friendly voice. They leave a great first impression, and that's going to tee up that sale. Because if you're just rolling these over into voicemail like so many contractors are, they're not going to leave a message because they don't think they're going to get a call back. So they're going to go to the next contractor until they get a live person because they've got questions and they want answers and they want them quickly. They don't want to wait to see if you may call them back to give them the information they're looking for. So check out Ruby at callruby.com/roofershow. See what they're about, but they do a great job. They'll answer that phone quickly, and it easily pays for itself in additional sales that you are losing and don't even realize it. So check out Ruby at callruby.com/roofershow. All right. Let's get into our interview with my friend David Lootberger, and let's find out what your business is really worth and how you can build it into a saleable asset that will just set you up when it comes time for retirement. It's never too early to get started. David, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Well, as I said in the introduction, we're in a mastermind group together of construction consultants, and we've been in there for quite a while, doing this for quite a while. And I talk about always being involved with masterminds or peer groups, and you just learn so much. And I think this is a great example where we get on Zoom once a month. And we all talk among ourselves, and we just learn so much. Best practices, we'll have the hot seat where somebody gets on, talks about their business and so forth. And as I mentioned, we just had our retreat, which normally we would go out of town, spend the weekend together. Great time. Everybody looks forward to it. And this time was 8 hours of looking everybody on Zoom. It was crazy. I've never been on Zoom for more than an hour and a half and 8 hours straight. And my eyes are bleeding, but it was a great time. Don't you love that group though?
They're such outstanding people and the amount of experience, you know, that group makes up. And all I can say is you're going to hear me say this more than once. Nothing takes the place of experience. Nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just sat back and kind of soak all this in because everybody's so much smarter than I am. So I really
I wouldn't quite go there. All right. You've earned that white hair, Dave.
A lot of hair. But I wanted to mention that every contractor should be in a peer group, a mastermind, roundtable, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same idea where you get together with non-competing contractors from around the country. You want to keep it pretty similar types of contractors, like let's say residential contractors doing between $1 and $5 million a year. And we all have the same problems. We get up and discuss all the best practices. We learn from each other. It's just, it's great. And I've always been involved with peer groups and it has come back to me tenfold. And now with Zoom, it's so easy to do it. So I'm putting these things together. If anybody's interested, make sure you reach out and talk to me. I can tell you about them. But it's lonely out there, I'll tell you. And why do it by yourself when you can get others to help you? It's amazing, the camaraderie that you pick up. I've got lifelong friends that I've made in our various peer groups. So anyway, reach out to me if that's something you're interested in. But we were talking at the, I was going to say at the retreat. You've got some new stuff going on about exit planning and so forth. So we didn't really get a chance to get into that. So I wanted to have you on the show because I know so many contractors are interested in this. And this is something that I see just so often is that contractors, they just don't plan these things out. And what happens most of the time is that rather than being able to sell their company, they just end up closing the doors because there's just no value. They haven't built value into the company. They've got the blood, sweat, and tears. everything that goes into it, but they've never built a saleable asset. So that's what I want to get into today.
Great.
Yeah. So let me start off. Here's an example of something that I would get. You know, I'm running let's say I got a $2 million a year roofing business. I've been doing this for a long time. I've got some solid clients that give me a lot of business. I've taken home around 400, 500 grand a year. It's doing all right. And things are going pretty well, but I'm not getting any younger. So I'm thinking of selling this business. So I figured, hey, you know, I had to be able to sell this thing for $3-5 million, right? And simple as that. Is that how it goes?
And you already know the answer. It's not that simple.
I know how it goes.
All yeah. right. When most owners walk out the door, the value of that business walks with them because their business is dependent on their participation, on their knowledge, on their experience. So one of the first things I'm going to say is when I'm working with contractors, my direction is your real job is to work yourself out of day-to-day operations. All right. And the long-term goal doesn't happen overnight. Long-term goal is the company works as well and creates revenue as well without you as it does with you. When you have a company and people that can continue, where if you're out of day-to-day operations, you've now created equity. You've created a transferable asset, probably to somebody already in the company. Now, in regards to value, we need to circle back. And in all honesty, construction companies, roofing companies, they don't have a high value. You know, this is not publicly traded stock. So if I'm looking at the value of a company, I'm going to say, I'm going to be conservative. Based on your customer list, recurring revenue, based on the systems you have in place, you might get 3x net earnings, which is after cost of goods sold, overhead, and owner's compensation. Well, people say, you know, gosh, that's not very much. I could just work another 2 or 3 years. Well, you're right. You could do that. But I want to bring this up for two reasons. One is beginning to create this plan, because it takes years for any owner to remove themselves from the day-to-day. More than that, part of the undermining or underlying this plan is contingency planning. And I love bringing this up because I'll say to an owner, if you couldn't show up to work for 45 to 60 days, accident, illness, yourself, someone in your family, what happens to your business? And the answer is usually about 15 seconds of silence. And then, well, there probably wouldn't be a business. So what kind of runs with this is the ability to put together a contingency plan, which is let me start working on if something happened to me or a key person, with a long-term goal of if I were to truly exit day-to-day operations, I could be an advisor to the company. I could reduce. And I got to tell you, most of the contractors I talk to, they don't want to walk away and golf 5 days a week. But they said, gosh, if I could just work like 2 days a week and be an advisor, all right, not be involved in the day-to-day, man, that's retirement. That's a beautiful picture. Mm-hmm. And imagine setting up an asset where after doing that, you could still generate an income, or if potentially selling it to an employee, you know, generating a $400,000 to $500,000 transfer. Not bad. You just have to plan for it.
I want to drop back on something that you said. I run into so often when we're talking about, when you were talking about net earnings, too many contractors don't understand the concept of owner's compensation, of having a salary, which is an overhead expense.
Yeah.
Because, and the way to look at it is that if you had to go out and replace yourself,
right,
you have to go out and you're going to have to pay for this. That is an overhead expense.
Yes.
After you pay all that, then we're talking about net earnings. That's the multiple that we're looking at. Not too many contractors even make a profit. after they take out the money. So this is something to really consider and something that I see all the time. And when you talk about removing yourself from the business, getting injured, any of these things, you're so right. Because in my coaching program, and I talk about it on the show all the time, I have a one-page business plan that sets up a business plan, really simple, easy. But one of the things that I've got there, it's called the two-week vacation. And I use this to really reinforce what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is, when's the last time you took 2 weeks off? Never, is most contractors' answer.
Right.
Well, if, let's say, you won a free trip to Hawaii and you could take your family, big deal, all excited. However, you've got to leave next Monday. Contractors say, well, I couldn't leave that. My business would fall apart. It wouldn't run without me. Well, yeah. There's your answer. That business is worth zero. It's worth nothing. You could sell some old trucks, but that's it. You have not built any value into that business. And this is where we talk so much that, you know, is building that value, is getting that those people in place, the systems, the processes, where you've got the right people, and then get the hell out of the way and let them run the business. Then you can find out if there's value there. But otherwise, if you've got to be there, you're the producer, what's the point? You're never getting out of there. And this is what happens so often. And this is what people have to understand, is that you have to build value, because you're in business for two reasons. One is to provide a good lifestyle for you and your family. And two is to build a saleable asset that you can use in retirement. And that takes years and years to do. And I know this is something that we want to talk about. What are our options? How long do we need to start planning? I usually say the first day you're in business. Let's talk about that.
And you ever heard of Michael Gerber?
Yeah.
So he wrote the book called The E-Myth.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to hear an interview he did. And basically, he interviews, works with small business owners, helping them systematize their business. So someone asked him, what did you see in the most successful businesses you worked at? And his answer, and I've always remembered it, he said, they built the company with the exit in mind. So they knew that the company was a means to an end. And 98% of contractors don't, maybe 98% of business owners just don't do that. So they really focused on what is the end and what's the purpose of this business. So if I was to kind of create a starting point, Dave, I'm going to say there are three things. One is, when do I want to transition out of day to day? And guess what? Like, just like any building plan, like any roofing plan, it's subject to change. So when would I like to get out of day-to-day operations? Number two, if I'm replacing myself, that usually increases overhead cost. So do I have a financial foundation in place to, number one, deal with that overhead? Number two, how am I increasing revenue to pay for that additional overhead? It's a consideration. And number three, the longer-term goal, if I'm leaving my business, can I start to identify a successor? And I'm bringing that up because a good company may have some young, ambitious, you know, project manager, and you see a little bit of yourself in them. And I'm just saying, if there can be a promise that in 5 to 7 years, they could become the general manager of the business, and you're still involved, but if they can become the general manager, you can begin to parcel the training and grow this person. And to be honest, there isn't much of a market. If somebody went to the open market to sell their business, the buyer's never going to come in and give you what you want. It's always going to be less because they're not in demand. But if you can grow that successor, it's a win-win. Your clients benefit, you benefit, your successor benefits. But guess what? It takes time.
It really does.
Usually, I'll tell people minimum 5 years, realistically 7-8 years. But, you know, if you do this with this vision of doing this 10 years from now, it's just what you said. Do this with the end in mind. And you can very systematically take certain operations in the business and begin delegating what those procedures are, what those expectations are. But you need to be able to think with that 5 to 8 year perspective. Mm-hmm. And as you just said, you know, creating a plan where you know you're creating an opportunity to, let's just say in the first 3 years, I'm going to set up where I'm going to take a month off in 24 months. If you know that I'm going to take off a month in 24 months, you can plan for that. Mm-hmm. That's realistic. And if I can just do a little short story here. And I was working with a cabinet manufacturer this several years ago. And this guy was getting ready to go to Scotland for 6 weeks. He was in the Bay Area. I forget the name of the cabinet company, but, you know, $6 or $8 million worth of cabinet orders over an annual basis. And he was so concerned because he said, if I leave, 6 weeks is a long time. What happens? But he knew this, you know, 6 or 8 months ahead of time. He really was telling different people what they were going to be responsible for, really empowering them to make decisions. And before he left, he just said, if something comes up, make the decision. I trust you to do the right thing. He left. I got to talk with him 2 months later when he came back. I said, how did it go? He said, surprisingly, no major issues. It went well. And then he said, this is probably the best thing I've ever done. My employees now knew, number one, that I trusted them. And they also knew that they could make decisions without coming to me. So he said to me, if you want, tell people to start taking off a half a day a week and tell your staff I'm not available. Then he said, increase it to 1 day, then increase it to a day and a half. And in those time, guess what? You're working on the business. You're not working in it. You're working on it. But I like these stories because there is an avenue when you begin to say, that's where I want to go. And really what we're talking about here is a roadmap.
Exactly. Let's talk about those things. You know, you had mentioned bringing somebody up through the business. We really have three ways for the most part. Somebody brings in a family member, okay, and they can make that transition, succession plan. You bring somebody up that's in the business, and you bring them up and train them to run the business. And that's, as you say, that's really the best way to do it. Trying to sell to an outside buyer, it's not easy. I've gone through, I guess you could say, three exits in my career. I bought my father out a long time ago. My brother and I did. My brother and I bought my father out, so we went through that. Then my brother and I didn't turn out to be the best partners in the world, which is happens so often, you know.
Yes, it does.
Just like a divorce, you know, but you get in there and you realize that you're not on the same goals, you know, and you want to grow different ways to grow your business and so forth. So that was a struggle. And then I had an exit where I had a combination of somebody coming up through my company, had them trained, and an outside business. So that worked pretty well, but that was not without its hitches. And, you know, we talked before, you can have the best planning in the world, but you still, you know, it can go sideways. Like the boxer Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. You never know. So that was it's an interesting story for another time. But I'm working with a company right now. It's not a roofing business, but a huge steel manufacturing business. And we're going through that now where we're trying to bring two guys up.
Wow.
And they're great, but there's so many factors that go into that, because here you're training all these guys, you know, to get up there and so forth. They realize, you know, this is pretty goddamn hard. This is not easy to run a business. Do I really want to do that? You know, because it's one thing to be looking at your boss and why so many guys go into business for themselves, because they say, hey, here's this guy. He doesn't do anything all day. He's just driving around in his Mercedes and he doesn't really do squat. Anybody can do that. So I'm going to go into business and do it for myself. Yeah, surprise. It's a little more to it than that. So a lot of times they don't want, you know, it turns out when they really get into it, after you've put a couple of years into it, this is not for me.
Yeah.
Also, you got to, where are they going to get the money? You know, how is this going to work? You have to structure this deal.
Yeah.
Because it's not like these guys, you know, have $1 million in the bank. They're going to give, here you go. Here's this wad of cash. You're going to have to do some kind of a long-term buyout. And anytime that you do that, there's always the possibility that you don't get paid. Don't you think?
And let me give you an angle on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're correct. You know, anybody within the company won't have the money. So let's set up something. It's called an earnout. And there are specific ways that if this person takes on a specific management role, and again, you've grown them into that position, at that point, you can just say, here's existing revenue. As you grow the revenue in the company, instead of giving you bonuses, I'll begin to give you stock. I'll begin to give you equity, but it's vested. And these are these key terms, which is every year I might give you 15% of company stock, where on year four, not until year four or year five, that equity transfers and it's vested, which means if they leave early, they lose all of it. But the vesting is also related on growing revenue, not keeping the company level, because they earn the stock based on increasing revenue. So again, I'm looking for that ambitious young man or woman, as the case may be, coming into a company where the owners laid the foundation. All right, you've got a good reputation, years in the business, client database, existing trade contractor and supplier relationships. Man, you've done the heavy lifting. Now, bringing in somebody with ambition that says, I can see what you've done, but knowing marketing, knowing social media, knowing the industry, I can increase revenue. And then that earnout is based on increased revenue, but their bonuses is equity. Now, let's go 4 to 5 years down the road. They are 50 or 55, 60% owners in stock. Now you have the basis for an SBA loan, because an SBA loan, if a person can demonstrate that they have been in a management role and can demonstrate profitability, SBA wants to see you've got skin in the game. They're not going to go 100%, but guess what? They'll go 40, 50, 60% when you can demonstrate. So that's a key point that you just hit, which is, no, you're not financing somebody for 10 years. No, you're saying demonstrate that you can do what I will show you how to do. I will reward you with equity. And at a given point, there can be a transfer. And guess what? The owner can still stay on as an advisor, can still stay on in a key role. And again, I said this earlier, that's retirement, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when working 2 days a week, you've got legacy, the business is continuing, and you see somebody with that ambition that has the same energy you had 20 years ago. And that's the fuel. That's the rocket fuel to make this work.
In my business planning, I also have something I call the view. And it's the last step in this transition, where I know so many contractors that have actually had a successful exit. Here they are. They're out of the business. They're sitting at home. Finally, I got to that pot of gold that I've been looking for. This is what I've been working my ass off for all my life. Well, they get out of there. And that's why I say, how does that view going to look? Well, they don't like it, because I don't play golf. I don't have anything to do. I like the action. You know, now I'm sitting around, my spouse is chewing me out all day. This is not what I wanted. I'm not happy. So what you're talking about, having this mix, can be a great thing, and to stay involved. And so this is why planning is so important. And going back to what you had said earlier, you're talking between 5 and 10 years.
Yeah.
Actually structure this to make it work. This does not happen overnight. And it's like, nobody likes to talk about death either and transition, which is why, you know, here there's so many contractors out there in their 60s that are just burnt out. Well, they haven't talked about any transition. There's a company that's just going to close the doors, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's sad. Yeah.
there's too much there. And that's, I think, what struck me is I, before COVID, was doing probably, gosh, literally 15 or 20 industry events, you know, where I traveled to different associations, trade shows. And all I can tell you is half the people in the room have white hair or no hair.
Right. Yep.
Aging population. And they've built something. And when I've asked people, what are you going to do when you retire? And the first answer is, I'm not retiring.
Right.
Now, granted, face to face, I can say, inevitably, you will.
Right.
Now, hopefully it's on your terms.
Yeah,
all right.
It may be out in the, it may be carrying out in a box.
But. And you know, but let's address making it on your terms. But the reality is, man, you've built something here.
Mm-hmm.
And what about thinking about how that might be transferred? Now, if somebody calls me at 65 and say, you know, I really want to sell it by next year, you're going to sell it, as you just said, for assets. There's mm-hmm. not going to be much more. But if you can think about this minimum 3 years in advance, ideally five, you then begin to have the time to put a plan together. And I'm going to circle back to where we started. The plan is not just transition, but I really want to emphasize this contingency plan, because it doesn't always go according to plan. And because you built this business, if something were to happen to you or a key person, do you have a plan where other staff members, other employees know they can step in, know what they're expected to do? Compensation is addressed, because when your company sees, gosh, Dave is thinking about this, they put this plan in place, their financial security is assured. So they said, even if something happens to you, Dave, I can see you've got a plan that this business continues. I don't need to worry about it. That is a plus that 95% of businesses never address. And guess what? Accidents happen.
Right. And you've got to plan this out. I've done a couple of shows. I call them the 4D business killers, assured to put you out of business. And those 4Ds are divorce, death, disillusion, and disability. And I've seen all of these happen, and a number of them happened in my life. I think looking back on it, I wish it was death, because it was so terrible to go through these. But just take it, disability. If you get disabled, which you have a higher chance of becoming disabled, particularly in the roofing business, whether you're just climbing a ladder or whatever it is, and then you are to die. And that's why disability insurance policies are so expensive, but you've got to have it. And particularly if you've got a partner, this is something that, you know, business owners don't think about. But if your partner becomes disabled, your 50-50 partner, well, they're going to still want to have their income, but now they're not producing any longer. How are you going to deal with that? Boom, you're out of business, okay? Divorce, you're generally out of business, because there's no strategy for, you know, how the business is going to continue, the buy, sell. There's always a fight, and it just sucks the life out of you, and that's it. Death is pretty clear, but how do you keep that business alive, you know, continuing to support your family? There has to be not only life insurance, but there has to be a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and then the final one is disillusion, where it, like in my case, I split up with my brother. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a buy-sell agreement.
Yeah.
And we were able to work it out. It wasn't pretty, but we got it worked out. But too many times, you can't work it out. Everybody splits, and there's no business left. And this is why just all the things that we're talking about planning. We're talking about, you know, taking a step back. And what's the plan? And I like what you're saying is you want to start at the end. You start at the end. What's this going to look like? And reverse engineer plan, or I call a roadmap, to get you there.
Yeah.
But it takes years. Isn't that what you find in your experience?
Again and again and again. And somebody says that, you know, what's your plan to eventually transition? Somebody's 45 years old. Oh, I'm not leaving my business. Right. Great. You've got a good solid foundation. What happens if something happens to you? You, a family member, you can come to work for 45 to 60 days. We already talked about the answer to that. So let's begin to address that emergency contingency. You just mentioned two partners, and both partners understanding if something happened to one, that not only is the future of the business addressed, but your partner's family, usually through some form of life insurance,
exactly,
some form of disability insurance. But when that isn't addressed, and I know you've told me a little bit about your divorce experience, not very positive. When you can address, you know, some of these emergency situations ahead of time, it's not an emergency. And you're saying, what does my partner's family need? What does the business need? If my partner was disabled for 3 months, so can I speak with other people in the business and begin to parcel out his responsibilities, communicate that to my staff, and literally put it in writing where they know this is in place. And there's even compensation that if they're taking on additional work, when you do this, it can make the company stronger,
right?
Because you see this unifying plan where they see how you, your partner, are addressing their future. And this is why they're working with you. 95% of the population cannot do what you did, Dave, or what I did, because they're not entrepreneurs.
Right.
You learn to live with risk. You woke up dealing with overhead, dealing with getting the mortgage payment made, dealing with an uncertain economy, dealing with supply shortages, dealing with emotional clients. Guess what? 95% of the population says, not for me. All right. But they'd love to work with a good company.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you can lay that foundation, that's when the compensation is more important. I'm sorry. The plan is more important than the compensation, because they see, gosh, I can grow here. The company's growing. It's a positive environment. People are rewarded. Why would I leave? This owner has vision. The partners have vision. They're sharing the vision with us. We're part of that vision. That's what's possible.
Yeah. When I start working with a contractor from day one, I talk about putting them in a position where it's a saleable asset. Now, it's also the way to build a profitable business, because you have to get, whether you call it having the right people in the right seats on the bus, or however you want to do it, but you're creating the jobs, finding the right, the positions, finding the right people for those positions, as opposed to what happens most of the time. Hey, I went to school with this guy, and you know, you end up throwing people in, and the next thing, it's a big mess. So you hire, you take a look, what are the positions I'm going to need, hire for those positions, train them, hold them accountable, and get the hell out of the way and let them do their job. If you can't do that, too many contractors, they can't delegate. Well, they're not going to do it as well as I am. Well, you're never going to get this company built up where you can sell this thing, because if they can do it, I figure, you know, even 80%, even 70% as well as I did, that's close enough.
Yeah.
They can learn by training. They're never going to do it the same way you are, but you have to build those positions. And I really believe that you have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's just taking those, you know, Fridays off, taking the weekend, you know, the time off and building that business. But that should start at day one, because not only that, but that's what your ticket to get out of that daily grind is, where, you know, you're starting off your business, you're working 80 hours a week. You know, you're killing yourself. You've got wearing all the hats. This is how you get out of that day to day, is by taking a step back, building a plan. Just like if we're going to sell this in 20 years, that's how you want to design your business and build it up. Don't you think?
That's it. You can't. Most contractors, I'm really generalizing when I say this, they might think 30 to 90 days in the future. And I'm saying we need to extend that vision. And I'm going to say 3 to 5 years minimum. Well, I can't think about that. Well, yeah, you can. And one of the first things I'd say is, let's review what you're doing now as an owner. And let's begin to create at least 4 hours a week where you work on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've accomplished that 4 hours a week where you're not getting interrupted by phone calls, you're really thinking about 180 days from now or further. Once you have that 4 hours, you're going to extend it now to 8 hours. And guess what? You can train your staff to take over. If you've got good people, let them make certain decisions. They don't need to depend on you, but this is where an owner can be the bottleneck because that's their sense of importance. To do this, you got to be able to delegate to good people and then let them do their job. Yep. But begin creating time to work on the business. And all I see again and again is people are so busy working in it.
Yep.
They're reactively responding to the market and they're not building anything. And then look, you went through 2008 and 2009 like I did. And there'll be another downturn. Hopefully it's somewhere in the future. But you know, how do you then plan for a downturn in this robust market? Have you diversified revenue? Are there other services? And those are the conversations I like to have. And the reality is all your roofing clients, guess what? There are a number of related service items you could be doing. Now, I didn't say it was sexy, but guess what? It's cash flow. Yep. And it also builds loyal relationships. So there's so many different things you can do.
And it also builds reoccurring income, which to a buyer is, you know,
everything,
because that can take off. And what I'm talking about is maintenance contracts, for instance, in the roofing business, commercial roofing. This is key. And this is why I spent so much effort building up these maintenance contracts, because you're building something of value, because that's something that's going to continue. It's reoccurring. You can count on it. Now, one of the biggest problems that I see with these guys, you know, hey, I've got this great customer list and, you know, they give us all this business. Well, I hate to tell you, but that may be your customer list and they're doing business with you. If you're gone, they're down the street. They're going with somebody else that they like. Okay. Yeah. You're the one that's holding that together. So there's not much value in that, particularly when it comes to roofing, and particularly if it's just your bidding work. What the hell? You can go start a business down the street for nothing, and boom, all of a sudden you're in competition. So there's really no value in that customer list for the most part, because you don't know what's going to happen. These guys get canned all the time. There goes that relationship. I don't want to work with, you know, your son or whatever it is. So you can't really count on that either. Is that something you see?
Oh man. I mean, I, you don't see it a lot in construction, you know, quote unquote, you know, maintenance agreements, but my HVAC contractor, because I do a deal where they come in every spring and every fall. And to me, it's like an oil change. You know, they check the equipment, they lubricate, they make sure the thermostat's working. It extends the life. So I called the owner once because I've been, you know, involved on the training side. And I just said, tell me more about your service agreements. And because he knew what I was doing, he was a little bit more open because I wasn't his competition. And I just said, you know, how many of these annual service agreements do you have? Because if you have one furnace, it's $400 or $500. If you got two with air compressors, $700 or $800 a year. Yep. And they come out twice a year, for, you know, fall and spring. And the guy said, well, we have 600, 600 of these service agreements. So I'm going, holy smokes. So basically I said, tell me over a 10-year period, what's the value of a customer if they stay with you for 10 years? There's a small hesitation on the line. And he said, well, realistically, somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000. I said, really? And he said, well, remember the annual fee. Now bring in repairs,
right?
And also bring in replacement, because if they're going to replace the furnace, AC compressor, they're doing the maintenance, they're coming out twice a year. He said, I maintain the relationship through engagement and they do a great job. Never had a complaint. They'll have us do the job. And he's absolutely right. All right. When it comes time to replace my furnace, why would I call anybody else? They've been good. So that's what you're beginning to address And people think, I'll just keep putting on new roofs. Great. Complement that now.
Yep.
And my tagline, because I developed a small recurring revenue, you know, model for business contractor or remodeling contractors. And the tagline was, when any project ends, our relationship is just beginning. That's my promise, which is I'm going to do the work for you, but then I'm going to make sure that your asset is maintained and taken care of. And so when you work with us, that's our promise.
And maintenance contracts are great because even if, and that's why, even if you're selling $50, I consider that person a customer now. So when that re-roof comes around, you're in position because yeah. they're a customer. You're not a, just a, another prospect because you've sold them something. So this is something that is so key. Before we cut out, I want to touch on a couple of things. Other problems that I see with so many, a lot of the contractors that I've worked with in the past. One is you've got the son of the owner. The owner's still there. The son's trying to get this thing going. Got an owner that's just sitting here working three times a week, sucking out all the dough, and doesn't really want to talk about this transition. And this is a deal killer that I see a lot because it's going to get to the end. The son hasn't really been brought into running the business and having the full responsibility. So most of those are going to die. There's going to be some kind of problem. And again, you lost all that value rather than, you know, having this heart to heart talk and really figuring this out. And you need somebody like yourself to facilitate this and make it happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen. So I see that a lot. I see maybe in families, the owner has left the business, no longer producing, but he still wants that draw. He's still used to that because he doesn't have the income to support his lifestyle. So he's sucking money out of the company still, but he's not producing. And he can't understand where, hey, you can't run the business this way. You know?
Right.
It's going to kill it. And it does all the time. Very few businesses make that transition to the second generation. And making it to the third generation is one in a million. You see so many failures going on there for those, you know, all kinds of reasons, because they don't plan these things out. Parents are on a different program, and it's really sad. I mean, here's an opportunity if you've got a son or daughter, particularly a daughter that wants to get involved with the business and shows some gumption and, you know, some smarts, bring them up because it takes a long time to do this. It's all of this planning. And if you get nothing out of this, except you've got to start early. It takes a long time. And there's going to be some missteps. You're going to pick the wrong people sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you've got to think it out. You've got to have a plan, and you've got to have somebody that's going to work with this. So Dave, let's wrap up by telling us, what do you have now? I know that this is what you're primarily doing, is exit planning after, you know, you've been a business coach for, God, I don't know what, 30 years, and you've run your own businesses, construction companies, and now you're in this business, which I think is just awesome because there's such a need for it. As you say, you go to these shows or whatever, and you're right, gray hairs, they don't have much time and they haven't made a plan. So there's such a need for it. So tell us what you have going and how you go about how you can help our contractors get started on this now so they don't end up being one of those people that just shuts the doors down.
Terrific. I appreciate your asking because I put together a website just as an introduction to guide people through this. So it's entitled contractorexitstrategy.com. But look, everybody's in a different place. So on the website, there's an exit readiness assessment. And because this conversation really is so unique and every company is different, in 15 or 20 minutes, a visitor can take an exit readiness assessment. It generates a simple report I get a copy of the report. And then traditionally, I set up a 45-minute phone call. And we talk about what the readiness assessment addressed. It begins to look at priorities within people's business, because it begins to address, do you have a contingency plan? Who's making all the decisions in the company? Are there documented processes and procedures? So it addresses certain questions. And then you see in the report, it prioritizes what you can begin to work on first. So basically, based on my experience, I've got more templates than you can shake a stick at. So when I start working with somebody, it's to begin putting that plan into play. What does it look like? Where do you start? And like any plan, guess what? It's flexible. But the idea is, let me review the steps in the process and then customize that for your individual company. And it's a very unique one-on-one conversation. Everyone is different. Everything I just discussed with you, there's no cost. So the website reviews the steps, the exit readiness assessment, there's no cost. I get on the phone, we talk. You decide if that's a conversation that we can pursue, and we go from there.
Awesome. Give us that website one more time.
Great. It's contractorexitstrategy.com.
So they can go there, and if they want to get in touch with you, you've got all your contact information, I'm sure.
All the contact info there, a link, you know, take the readiness assessment. And in most cases, it's a little eye-opening, because it begins to ask you those questions that, guess what, we're not really addressing, or we've been too busy to address. But as we've been saying for the last 45 minutes, it's time.
Yep.
Let's look at it.
I agree. Well, that's awesome, Dave. I know you know your stuff. Man, I've known you for quite a while, and your business coaching is just been fantastic. I know that you're a national speaker. So you've seen enough of this going around where I know that you can really help our contractors, our listeners out there. So be sure to get in touch with Dave. And David, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and it's always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the invite, and I hope your listeners get something from it. I enjoyed it.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to build a more profitable roofing business, get your time back and stop wearing all those hats, you'll want to check out my one-on-one coaching. And you can go to my website at theroofercoach.com. Check it out. See what that's all about. Click the big button there. We'll hop on a call. We'll spend half hour, 45 minutes talking about your business. See if I can help you, give you a few tips based on my experience of 30 years as a contractor. Been there and done it, and can probably help you out. But until next week, we will see you on The Roofer Show.